Today is Thursday, January 23rd, and this is the World Socialist Website. Trump's January 6th pardons. The boss of the attempted coup lets loose his fascist thugs, by Patrick Martin. In an action Monday night that openly encourages and incites violence against all those who oppose his fascist policies, President Donald Trump pardoned or commuted the sentences of every participant in the storming of the Capitol on January 6, 2021. Those whom Trump hails as the J6 hostages came to the Capitol at his command 4 years ago, armed with a variety of weapons and with access to stockpiles of guns and ammunition. They rampaged through congressional offices, seeking to seize and execute anyone who stood in Trump's way, and erected a gallows to hang the U.S. vice president. Ahead of the 2020 presidential election, Trump had for months been planning what the WSWS characterized in September 2019 as a, quote, coup d'etat, setting into motion a plot to establish a presidential dictatorship, unquote. The majority of Republican members of Congress were active participants in the plot, voting to stop the certification of the election results, while the Democrats stood by and took no action. Biden actually appealed for Trump to go on national television as it was happening. Congressional Republican leaders, and even Trump's own Vice President, J.D. Vance, seemed caught off guard by the sweeping character of the pardons, since they had been declaring for weeks that, of course, anyone convicted of violence against the Capitol Police must be punished. It is logical to conclude that, having taken the measure of the spinelessness of his nominal opponents in the Democratic Party, who collaborated in his inauguration without the slightest dissent, Trump decided to give the maximum encouragement to his fascist shock troops. Within hours, Oath Keepers founder leader Stuart Rhodes, his 18-year prison term commuted, was meeting with Republican congressmen to discuss additional measures to free other fascist thugs whose crimes were committed on other days than January 6 and were not covered by the initial Trump pardon. Proud Boys leader Enrique Tarrio was freed from his 22-year prison sentence imposed for his joint role with Rhodes as the principal organizers of the paramilitary groups that spearheaded the attack on the Capitol. It was the Proud Boys to whom Trump gave the direction during a debate with Biden in 2020 to stand back and stand by. These are the forces Trump summoned to Washington on January 6th with the promise that it, quote, will be wild, unquote. With his mass pardon, Trump has effectively added a new instruction. Do your worst, I will protect you. Trump has a clear understanding of the impotence and cowardice of the Democratic Party establishment and its apologists in the corporate media and the pseudo-left groups. The Democratic Party spent years covering up the scale of what happened and protecting the Republican participants in the conspiracy. Their mantra was, as Biden put it after the coup, we need a strong Republican Party. The Biden administration blocked any serious investigation into the attack on the Capitol, allowing Trump and his co-conspirators in the Republican Party and the military intelligence apparatus to resume their assault on democracy, while the Justice Department focused its attention solely on the lowest-level perpetrators. While covering up the scale of the coup attempt, the Democrats spent the next 4 years doing the bidding of major U.S. corporations and waging war all over the world, policies that made them rightly despised. The result is that the president who organized the January 6 coup, in an attempt to remain in office as an unelected dictator in defiance of the massive vote against him in the 2020 elections, has been able to re-enter the White House not by violent attack, but by default. The contrast in the use of the presidential power on January 20th was strikingly described by journalist Jeffrey Toobin, one of a handful of bourgeois commentators to write critically of the actions of both Biden and Trump. Biden pardoned his immediate family and close political allies on the January 6th committee that failed to investigate the coup to protect them against retaliation. Trump pardoned his cohorts and minions to prepare a new assault. Toobin wrote, quote, Mr. Biden played defense, Mr. Trump offense, unquote. That being said, it is not the Democratic Party and the corporate media which will have the final word on the prospects of the Trump administration. It is the working class, both in the United States and internationally. There is no doubt that the violence and state repression being unleashed in America will come as a tremendous political shock. The working class must be warned and must think through its response soberly. Trump commands no great well of popular support. He won the 2024 election with 49.8% of the popular vote, compared to 48.3% for Democrat Kamala Harris. His policies are even more unpopular, with two-thirds of those responding to recent surveys opposing the pardon of the January 6 criminals. Whatever the initial confusion prompted by Trump's anti-immigrant racism, which seeks to divert working class anger over inflation, unemployment, and deteriorating social conditions into a blind alley, millions of working people will be horrified by the impending police military assault on their neighbors, co-workers, and friends. A popular reckoning with Trump is inevitable. The decisive question is for workers to recognize that the source of the assault on democratic rights is not merely the rabid conceptions of the fascist president, but the crisis of the world capitalist system. As the WSWS wrote earlier this week, Trump represents the quintessence of the American ruling class. His personal characteristics are a hideous expression of the main features of the oligarchy of billionaires whose wealth and power have swelled to unprecedented dimensions over the past four decades. The working class must advance an independent program of its own, based on a revolutionary socialist perspective, directed against the financial oligarchy as a whole, including both its political parties, the Democrats as much as the Republicans. Trump declares invasion and orders deployment of 1,500 active duty troops to U.S.-Mexico border, by Jacob Cross. On Wednesday, following a series of anti-immigrant executive orders issued by President Donald Trump, Acting Secretary of Defense Robert Salesis announced the Pentagon is deploying more active duty troops to the U.S.-Mexico border, in furtherance of Trump's plan to carry out the largest deportation operation in U.S. history. Since being sworn in on Monday, Trump has used the power of the presidency to declare a national emergency and order the Department of Defense, Department of State, Department of Justice, and Department of Homeland Security to prioritize defending the sovereignty of the U.S. from an alleged invasion of immigrants. On Wednesday, Trump signed an executive order suspending the physical entry of aliens engaged in an invasion of the United States through the southern border. As a matter of fact, there is no armed invasion force attempting to attack the U.S. or its citizens on the southern or any other border. The vast majority of those seeking entry at the U.S.-Mexico border are workers and their families fleeing from other countries currently subjected to U.S. economic sanctions, trade war measures, or other imperialist machinations. In a statement published Wednesday following Trump's latest anti-immigrant executive order, Salesis wrote that under his direction, the Department of Defense had established a task force to expedite the implementation of Trump's executive orders, which includes deploying, quote, U.S. military forces to carry out directed missions called for by the president, unquote. Anonymous Pentagon officials have told multiple outlets, including the Washington Post and CNN, that as many as 10,000 troops could be deployed in the near future to the southwest border. An unnamed senior military official told Politico, quote, this is the initial effort that we can do right away, and we anticipate many additional missions. This is just the start, unquote. Another senior military official told CNN, quote, we've been told to treat this like a national emergency because it's been declared a national emergency. Don't be surprised if you see Marines being dropped off by helicopters. Salesi's order Wednesday calls for deploying 1,500 ground personnel to the U.S.-Mexico border. He noted in his order that this was a, quote, 60% increase in active duty forces, unquote, at the southwest border since Monday. There are currently some 2,200 troops in El Paso, Texas, working alongside Texas Guardsmen as part of Governor Greg Abbott's Operation Lone Star. Politico reported that the 1,500 figure includes 500 Marines who had previously been on standby to assist with the still-raging Los Angeles fires. On Wednesday, the Hughes Fire erupted in the Castaic area in northern Los Angeles County, igniting more than 9,000 acres. As of this writing, the fire is burning out of control. At 5 p.m., over 31,000 people were in a mandatory evacuation zone, while another 23,000 were under imminent evacuation warnings. The active duty troops being deployed are currently being assigned a support role and are prohibited from acting in a law enforcement capacity. That could change, however, if Trump invokes the Insurrection Act of 1807, which empowers the president to deploy U.S. military and federalized National Guard troops within the United States to suppress a civil order or rebellion. As part of his executive orders, Trump revealed that he would decide within the next 90 days whether or not to invoke the Insurrection Act. In addition to operating drones and helicopters, the ground troops will be augmented by the Pentagon's Transportation Command, which will use military aircraft to airlift more than 5,000 human beings currently detained by Customs and Border Protection, or CBP, out of the United States. Flights will be ongoing from San Diego, California, and El Paso, Texas. Finally, Salacious ordered the troops to assist in the construction of temporary and permanent physical barriers across the border. U.S. troops have previously strung up hundreds of miles of barbed concertina wire as part of building the southern border wall. Salacious, a former Marine Corps officer, was appointed to head the Pentagon while Trump's current nominee, fascist Pete Hegseth, is still undergoing discussion in the Senate. He concluded his memo, quote, "This is just the beginning. President Trump directed action from the Department of Defense on securing our nation's borders and made clear he expects immediate results. That is exactly what our military is doing under his leadership," unquote. Far from offering any resistance to Trump's plans to deploy the military on U.S. soil against immigrants and their families, Democrats are providing Trump the legal framework to detain and deport tens of thousands more people. On Wednesday, 46 Democrats joined all Republicans in the House to pass an amended version of the fascistic Laken Riley Act. House Democrats who voted in favor of the bill include Ohio's Amelia Sykes, a member of the Congressional Black Caucus, former Army Colonel Yevgeny Vindman, and pro-Israel genocide New York Representative Richie Torres. It will be the first piece of legislation Trump signs since being inaugurated on Monday. The legislation requires federal immigration police to detain and possibly deport undocumented immigrants who have simply been accused of petty crimes such as shoplifting. The law would also allow state attorneys general to bring civil lawsuits against specific federal officials if they feel they are not enforcing immigration law to their liking. The bill includes no reforms or pathways to citizenship. The only amendments that were added to the bill were both from Republicans. Texas Senator John Cornyn's amendment expanded the list of offenses eligible for detainment and deportation to include assaulting a police officer, while an amendment filed by Iowa Senator Joni Ernst includes acts that would cause the death or bodily harm to an individual. This would allow immigrants involved in car accidents, which may be no fault of their own, to be detained and deported. The bill includes no funding mechanisms, but Democrats previously estimated it would cost $83 billion over 3 years to facilitate the detention of another 110,000 people, as well as hire another 20,000 border agents. Israel Tightens Its Grip on Jenin and the Wider West Bank by Thomas Scripps. Israel is using the first phase of the ceasefire in Gaza as an opportunity to step up its war on the West Bank. Given the green light by the Trump administration, Israel Defense Forces, or IDF, soldiers and security forces have launched a massive operation centered on Jenin, which Foreign Minister Israel Katz declared, quote, will mark a shift in the IDF's security strategy in Judea and Samaria, unquote, which is the biblical name used by far-right Zionists to refer to the West Bank. Making clear the government's intentions, fascist finance minister Bezalel Smotrich said, quote, after Gaza and Lebanon, today, with God's help, we have begun to change the security concept in Judea and Samaria. Several reports suggest Smotrich secured a commitment to include security in the West Bank as one of Israel's official war goals in exchange for his backing the Gaza ceasefire agreement. Francesca Albanese, UN Special Rapporteur on Human Rights in the Occupied Palestinian Territory, warned bluntly, quote, as the long-awaited ceasefire in Gaza took place, Israel's death machinery escalated its firing in the West Bank. If it is not forced to stop, Israel's genocide of Palestinians will not be confined to Gaza. Mark my words, unquote. The fear was echoed by UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, who coupled unfounded optimism for the ceasefire with the observation, quote, the other possibility is for Israel, feeling emboldened by the military successes, that it has had to think this is the moment to do the annexation of the West Bank and keep Gaza in a kind of limbo situation. At least 10 Palestinians have been killed in Jenin, and 40 wounded. The numbers could be much higher, with ambulances blocked from reaching the wounded. Nabal Farsakh, a spokesperson for the Palestinian Red Crescent, told reporters, quote, no one can break the siege on the refugee camp and the surrounding area, unquote. The organization said it was, quote unquote, deeply concerned about the well-being of Jenin's residents. Repeating the tactics used in its criminal war of genocide in Gaza, Israeli forces have surrounded the Khalil Suleiman Governmental Hospital. In charge of the facility, Wissam Bakir told reporters, quote, the current situation is awful. Israeli forces destroyed the roads in front of the hospital. They put the rubble from the destroyed streets in front of hospital exits to prevent ambulances from entering or leaving, unquote. Two nurses and three doctors had been shot on the main road leading up to the building on Tuesday, he explained, adding that 600 staff and patients were now sheltering as best they could inside. Bakir's account was confirmed by Adel Besher, who told Al Jazeera, quote, I slept in the yard of the hospital. Even though my house is 200 meters away from here, I couldn't reach it. There were many injured people. Four from Al Amal Hospital were wounded, among them doctors, nurses, and patients. There were also three or four people injured near my house, and no one was able to rescue them. He added that, quote, Israeli forces shot at whoever got near them. Two were injured while trying to rescue them. According to the Wafa News Agency, residents in several Jenin neighborhoods were ordered to leave their homes and the city by loudspeaker. Exact numbers have been difficult to count under siege conditions. Scores of people have been arrested and detained. Roland Friedrich, the director of UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees, Affairs for the West Bank, described the camp as, quote, nearly uninhabitable, with some 2,000 families displaced since mid-December. UNRWA has been unable to provide full services to the camp in this time. He added that the operation, quote, using advanced weaponry and warfare methods, including airstrikes, is expected to last days. Friedrich noted that the Israeli operation, quote, follows more than a month of armed clashes inside Jenin camp between PSF, or Palestinian State Forces, commanded by the Palestinian Authority, and Palestinian armed actors. According to the Middle East Eye, quote, PA security forces stormed Al-Razi Hospital in Jenin on Wednesday and arrested a wounded man believed to be a member of the Jenin battalion and wanted by the Israeli army. Quote, the PA raid appeared to be the first time Palestinian forces publicly participated in an Israeli military assault in the West Bank. There are fears that Jenin's fate awaits other cities in the West Bank, with Israeli forces massively increasing the number of military checkpoints and gates to nearly 900 throughout the territory, sealing off entry and exit to major population centers. The Idar refugee camp was stormed on Wednesday, and raids carried out in Tulkarm and towns around Ramallah and El Bereh. medical aid for Palestinians member Asil Badoun, based in Ramallah, told The Guardian, quote, "For 2 days, we have been experiencing an extensive military lockdown. The Israeli army has placed hundreds of new checkpoints that are making the movement between towns and cities almost impossible. It's an open-air prison. We feel we cannot move around. If you want to go from Ramallah to Jericho, it's impossible. And it's almost impossible to even reach nearby villages. There's not only restrictions on movement, but insane attacks from settlers. Dozens of mass settlers attacked the villages of Jinsafut and Al-Funduk near Jerusalem on Monday night, bringing materials to set buildings and cars on fire, and attacking 3 houses, a nursery, and a carpentry shop. They also threw stones and fired shots. Similar attacks have since taken place in the villages of Sinjil, Insinia, Termesiah, and Kerbet Akhwisis. At least 21 Palestinians have been injured and hospitalized, including elderly people and 3 children. Meanwhile, the residents of Gaza will continue to sift through the 50 million tons of rubble that is all that remains of their leveled cities, with 80% of the buildings in northern Gaza destroyed, leaving 300,000 homeless. Relatives and civil agencies are searching for an estimated 10,000 bodies trapped underneath the wreckage. More than 200 have been found since the ceasefire came into effect 4 days ago. Frequently, all that can be found are bones. The work is slow going, in part because the IDF has killed roughly 100 staff members of the Civil Defense Agency and destroyed many of its vehicles. It also takes place under fire. On Wednesday, 28-year-old Akram Atif Sanun was shot and killed, and 4 others wounded, by an Israeli quadcopter while removing rubble from their mostly destroyed homes in Rafah City's Shabora camp. The smooth passage of 2,400 aid trucks into Gaza since the ceasefire was signed, a vast increase, confirms that Israel deliberately restricted the flow of these vital supplies, using starvation and disease as a weapon of war for over a year. British Dr. James Smith, who volunteered at Gaza's Al-Aqsa Hospital, told Al Jazeera, quote, "One of the most important things to remember is a genocide doesn't end with a ceasefire, particularly a ceasefire as fragile as this. It's simply ongoing now by other means," he said, pointing to the Strip's ruined healthcare system. A correspondent for the news agency Hein Kuhare reported, quote, "You can't imagine how destroyed the infrastructure across the Gaza Strip is. Sewage is filling the streets. In some places, there's a lack of water. Desalinization plants are not working anymore. The infrastructure has completely collapsed," unquote. The looming deadline for Israel's ban on UNRWA threatens to plunge the region deeper into catastrophe, with over 2 million Gazans relying on the agency, plus many hundreds of thousands of Palestinians in the West Bank. A report from the Peace Research Institute of Oslo, Consequences of the Israeli UNRWA Ban, warned of the dire impact the ban on the organization would have. Co-author Jorgen Jensenhagen explained, quote, "In less than 1 week's time, its collapse in Israeli-controlled areas could cripple the humanitarian operation in Gaza." This has been Paul Fuller for the World Socialist Website.
The World Socialist Website is published by the International Committee of the Fourth International, the ICFI, the leadership of the World Socialist Movement, the Fourth International founded by Leon Trotsky in 1938. The World Socialist Website relies entirely on the donations of readers and listeners for financial support. To give to the WSWS or to set up a regular monthly contribution, go to wsws.org/donate. We urge our listeners to join the International Committee of the Fourth International and one of its affiliated political parties and take up the struggle for socialism.